Well, good morning again. We have been talking throughout the week as to, okay, what would be the best time to be able to share about the mission trip, and we really felt like, even though we're still processing through all that we've experienced by going on the trip, being able to, you're experiencing the people and talking with those who may not understand your language, and we don't understand their language, and while we may not be, fully through everything that we've gone through and debriefing, and we felt this Sunday would be the best day for us to share with you guys all that God helped us to accomplish. And one thing we really wanted to be able to stress is that, you know what, every one of us helped to build this house. It wasn't merely the five people who rode down in the van and the six more people from our church that were already down there ahead of time, but it was all of us who prayed for this trip. All of us who gave financially for this trip to happen, and well wishes, and contacted us while we were on the way or while we were there, or checking up on us, thinking about it. Really, we just want to say from the bottom of our hearts, thank you for allowing us to be a part of this, to do this with you. Really, this was just a full team effort, and really was a great blessing. I do want to give you kind of a heads up ahead of time, though. Let me just kind of paint the picture a little bit for you. Then we have a video we want to show, and I'm going to invite some of the team members who were down there at the trip to come forward here. But we did leave 2 weeks ago today. We left from the church parking lot, and we drove 13 hours. We stayed, and we made it to Texas. Hey, it was great. We were halfway there. And so the next day, we got up. We drove all the way down to McAllen, Texas. We had we met there at Rich and Shirley Seaman's home. They lived there in McAllen. And when we were there, they invited a lot of other folks that were from their church or part of this team that were, they had worked all day already on that Monday there in Reynosa. And so we had a big meal, and it was like we have known these people all along. They were teasing me, and there was one guy from Missouri, a man, he made it his goal all week is just to give me a hard time. So, and he did. He really did. And so, but you know what? I gave it right back. It was fine. He'd come up to me and he says, "Aren't you going to do anything?" And so I threatened to take an offering, and that kind of cooled his jets for a while. And then I said, "You guys keep saying all along, well, the pastor's only work one day a week." I said, "Is today Sunday?" "It's not Sunday. I don't have to do anything." So, didn't do a whole lot, but just love the camaraderie that we had there. As I mentioned, there on Monday, there was a group that was down there in Mexico already, and they worked all day. They were painting, and they were getting things prepped for us to be able to join them on Tuesday. And on Tuesday, we built the house in one day on Tuesday. The house itself was built. The roof was put on. Everything was done in one day. One thing that was kind of pushing us forward was the weather forecast. They felt that there was going to be some rain coming in that evening. And so we really pushed hard that first day that we were there to build the house. Fortunately, we did not have a lot of rain that night. And so the next day, we were able to get back and get down in there. And we were able to paint the entire house that morning and then dedicate that house right after lunch. Lunch was something called mole, which is a Spanish word for tough old bird. And that's what it was, man. It was Amy will tell you a little bit about that, but wow, it was. I think they actually tamed down the spices for us, but not enough for me. And so there were some of the local dogs that ate pretty good that day too. So just kind of on the side there. But let's see. So we dedicated the house. Dedicated it there the second day we were there. So that was a Wednesday. That we dedicated the house there right after lunch, and you will never meet a more grateful family. Reuben and his wife, Gregoria, Garcia, sorry, I got too many words going in my mind. They're just so overwhelmed with gratitude for what we were able to do for them. It was a game changer for them. We enjoyed time with the family. We enjoyed time with the community afterwards. And even on that Saturday, let's see, yeah, we could go Saturday, there was a large community meal that we helped to serve at. We served over 800 people They had ministers who came in. They were sharing the gospel and a lot of singing and things. It was really just a special time to be. You cross over cultural barriers and language barriers, all those other things, and recognize, you know what, in Christ we're all one. And so what a great blessing. This is a video that Alyssa put together for us. Thank you, Alyssa, for doing this. I know she wasn't feeling well this past week, but she was able to splice things together. It kind of gives you kind of more a chronology of it, of what took place. And Ricky was the one who did a lot of the videotaping here. So this is just kind of a overview of what we were able to accomplish. And then we'll have the team come forward. So let's roll the video. That was somewhere in northern Texas. We met the border control. That's just as you come into Reynosa. That's where people live. So you just pallets, scraps of wood, just junk there. This is the actual mission base itself. And we brought the glow sticks down one night, and that just was, you know, phenomenal for these guys. That's one of the local churches there. There's 9 churches in that area, but there's 8,000 people. That snake was, somebody brought it down to dinner one day, so.
Here we are at City of Refuge, Mexico. Say hi, Josh.
What's up, man?
Here we all are. There's Betty over there, Rich, Bert, Bob's over there in the brown shirt. Amy's over here. This will be their kitchen area. Inside kitchen, bottom bedroom. The roof has just started to go up. This is an hour and 20 minutes after lunch break. This is how far she's been. Got all the ceiling on and the roof on in the back, working on the front. Got here at 7, it's about 10 now. Pretty much got all the outside paint work done. They've started painting the inside. They've made steps in the loft. I will walk us in. I'll walk us to the other side too, so you see all 3 sides of the front here. That's pretty much all the green that has to be done. Alright, this is the inside loft area. We put rails up. That's one boy's bedroom. Walkway, the other boy's bedroom. We've got windows in. We're going pretty fast here. My memory is... phone is getting pretty packed. So, and there's the kitchen with 3 on the thing.
So we dedicate this house to the glory of God.
Dear Heavenly Father, we commit this house to you for your glory and for your honor. What a great privilege it is to be part of a church that wanted to make a difference in the lives of the Garcia family, in the lives of this community, but also a difference for eternity as we commit this house to you. We do want to pray for the Garcia family. I come right to them today and I lay my hands upon them. I pray the Holy Spirit would give them grace and power to be a family who is walking after Jesus. Fill them with strength. Give these parents wisdom to be a wise parents, to know how to lead their children well.
All right. So as the team comes forward, please welcome them. They're each going to grab a random paper with a couple questions for them and see what they get. All right. This is Richard Klatt's sombrero in that suite. Awesome.
Authentic Mexican.
It is, yeah. That one's very much
this is mine. I couldn't afford the big one, so.
Awesome. Well, there's, you know, somebody was asking me earlier, okay, well, how was your trip, is what they said, and it's, it's kind of hard to put into words. It's like if you were to, if you see just a gorgeous sunset, and you're like, oh, this is amazing, so you pull your phone out, you take a picture of it, and then you look at the phone later, and you're like, that's not quite as amazing as what it was when you were there, so. The best way for us to really think about it is you have to experience something like this in order to try to then explain it to somebody else. So this is our way of trying to paint the Mexican sunrise for you. It's not the same as being there, but it's the best that we can do for it. So questions that we have, and we're still kind of processing through everything that have experience, but Amy, you have a couple questions.
I do.
Why don't you go first?
How did God answer prayer for you? I feel like my faith has been strengthened even more. I had a number of concerns from minor things to bigger things, and God just took care of everything. Like traveling so many hours together in the van, would we all get along? And we did, and we had a really great time.
Yes.
And
enjoyed it.
Things that women sometimes think about, the bathroom and where you're going to sleep, and it just all worked out in safety. And if I can do this trip, any of you ladies out there that are physically able, you can do it if we ever get a chance to go again. Yeah, my other question? Mm-hmm. My other question was, were there certain people you really connected with on this trip? And one lady in particular, her name is Noemi, and my name's Amy, so there's a connection there, a similarity. And we would try to connect with each other like women do, and we had to play charades a lot and trying to figure out what each other was saying, and then we'd laugh at each other. But she got out her phone and was showing me these quilts, and so I went and got an interpreter, and I found out that there's a missionary that comes over about once a week and teaches the ladies how to sew, and it's one way that she provides for her family. And she's married and has 5 children, but her husband doesn't always bring everything home like he should to care for them. So I bought a quilt from her while I was there. And it's not anything fancy compared to what some of the ladies make in our church. But it's special to me because I connected with her. And she through an interpreter, I found out that she couldn't believe that somebody would want to buy something that she made. So I felt privileged that I could be a part in that and maybe be a blessing to her.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the things that Amy did so well is, she was painting and working at the house, but really her forte was building relationships with other people. And it didn't surprise me, but it wasn't long after our first day there that you ended up over at the neighbor's house, and you're getting the grand tour of their home next door. So that was kind of interesting too.
I would like to say, add on to what you were talking about. Maybe if you are thinking about going, but you don't really have the skills to build houses and stuff like that, maybe you don't work on the house. You just talk to the people there and build relationships there with the people instead of just working on the house. So just wanted to add that.
Yeah, and really, building the house was the easy part. We had plenty of people who know how to build a house, and you can, you know, so you just kind of do what you're told. That was not the hard thing, but, you know, really the hard thing was being willing to try to step over a barrier and try to go and communicate with somebody and get to know them a little bit. And you give them just a little bit of Spanish, and it's like you just open the floodgates, and you're like, whoa, I didn't mean all that. So, really the people were just, they're just phenomenal people. All right, who's next? Is it Rick?
Sure.
Okay.
All right. My first question was, what was the most difficult part of the mission trip? Like they said, it was the language barrier. It was hard to talk to these people and have them understand you. So like she said, you're doing a lot of dancing around, a lot of movement, just to try to express what you're trying to say. And that was really, really hard, you know. The comfort barrier with that, I mean, it was hard to go and try to talk to these people who you don't even know, and, you know, and just, it was really tough that way. My second question was, what did you learn about Christ from, or the church, while you were on this trip? Well, they touched on this a little bit too. It's everybody was in it together. I mean, there's no hierarchy or anything like that. They were all in it together.
Yeah.
Did this at first service too?
It did.
They all pulled together. What they had, they shared. What you gave wasn't near enough. And a few things that they did mention that they needed were Bibles. They had a couple at the church, but not very many. And we talked about this. They got Bibles out there now that have Spanish translation and American translation. So while they're learning the Bible, they'd be learning English too. So that would kind of break down that wall. It'd be easier to communicate. I wouldn't mind getting some for us. Mm-hmm. So we can do it too. So if we do go back, we can communicate a little better. What was the second?
Crafts.
Oh, right, crafts. So many kids there. Yeah. Just young kids, having kids. I mean, just tons of kids there. And Amy brought the glow sticks, and Bob, they brought the glow sticks, and they were really impressed with them, you know, because they lit up and everything. But me and Brianna sat down and started braiding them together, and, you know, just kind of transformed them a little bit, and the kids were just amazed by it. So they all rushed over. They all wanted to learn, and they all wanted to do it, you know, and stuff like that. So next time we go, I like to have some crafts to do in the afternoons with them. Yeah. Just share everything like that with them.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Joshua? Well, I think I'll go next because my question here, what was the best part about your trip? I think it builds a bit on what Rick was talking about, how many kids were there. And they would just all hang out where we were staying, and we would just, you know, spend time with the kids there, and we would play basketball, and we'd play soccer and everything. And I feel like, here with my second question, it says, if I can get the paper open, it says, what spiritual lessons did you learn while you were in Mexico? And I feel like I learned just, you know, to get out of your comfort zone and just get out there, you know, because I'm not really a kid person. I don't really like spending time with kids, but I feel like the trip showed me just to, you know, get past that comfort zone and just work with the kids and spend time with them, play basketball and stuff like that. So that's, as I said, my piece.
Which was easier for you, the basketball or the soccer?
I feel like basketball was, because we were all a little taller than they were when we were playing basketball. As soon as they started playing soccer, they were weaving in and out of us, man.
Yeah. They're real good at soccer.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. They played a rugby basketball. It was...
It wasn't really basketball. It was like barn ball.
His new name is Jose.
Yeah, that's what the kids call me. They call me Jose down there.
You had a friend over the other day, and you were asking him what he did last week. You remember what he said?
Yeah, one of my friends came over the other day, and I was asking him what he did last week, and he's just like, a whole lot of nothing. And I'm like, well, I changed a family's life. I built a house for your family down there in Mexico, and it's like, coming back here, it's kind of like how much.
Yeah, it's like remember, as we're talking to Rich Siemens, kind of getting ready for this, and it's the phrase that he said, it just stuck with me. He said, they have nothing. They literally have nothing. But Brianna.
My question was your most enjoyable part of this trip. For me, it was like them, interacting with the people. Like, you get to know them and you realize how truly amazing they are. We went down there with the goal to go and change these people's lives, to bless them and to love on them. And we get down there and it was the complete opposite. We were the ones that... we truly got blessed by them, because like they said, they have nothing, but even though they have nothing, they're willing to give up their littlest treasures for us. There is a guy down there who spent, I don't know how long, but he made me this little glass heart, and he gave it to me on my last day, and he said, don't forget about us. And it's small things like that. It changes you. Everyone was telling me before I go, well, get ready for the culture shock because it's going to be big. But when I got there, I felt so at home. Everyone was so kind and loving on you, and we became a family, all of us did, with them. And the culture shock was coming back into the United States and seeing all these big buildings and stores and fancy cars and clothes and jewelry, and it just kind of sinks in, like, we have everything, we're beyond blessed, and it just doesn't feel right to me. And then my other question was, what insights for your future did you gain from this trip? I absolutely fell in love with Mexico. So I'm definitely praying about going back. Just trying to figure out what God wants me to do right now.
There are so many needs, so many opportunities there. Building a house for somebody is just one thing we can do. But really, spending time with folks, the missionaries, they open their home and they just have people. They're always coming in, and you know, they're building these relationships. They've been there for 15 years now, and they have seen little babies born and raised up, and just really building the relationships all along. And it just takes a lot of time, but it's worth it. Just see the lives that you're changing. I mean, that means everything. So whatever that might be for you in the future, you know, we're going to join and pray for you, that God will guide you as well as all of us for what are the next steps that He has in store for us. I had a couple questions. What was the most difficult part about this trip? Well, we rode 50 hours in the van together, which was good. It was very good, actually. That wasn't difficult. Actually, that was a blessing to just get to know everybody and see people interact with each other. That was a lot of fun. And if you want to make fun of me, that's fine. Just keep making fun of me. Doesn't matter. We played so many games of Ultimate Scavenger Hunt. On the high, that was a great game. It was
we found every variant of semi-truck on that trip.
So you got to pass the time somehow. But for me, as we were building this home, I was just thinking, and I finally asked the missionary, I said, how many people live in this community? Because Reynosa is a million people, but in this community, the City of Refuge. And so he said, about 8,000 people living here. And you look at the housing they have, and really just the limited utilities they have down there. And so I think, okay, so you've been here 15 years, 8,000 people, you've built 300 homes, which is phenomenal. But if you do a little bit of math, okay, let's make this real easy. Let's say that each home houses 8 people. We need 1,000 homes. We've only built 300 and 15 years. So there's a lot more work to be done. When they moved there, there was no electricity, there was no water. They didn't have anything out there. They just got electricity here about 8 months ago. So that's all new for them. They're committed to those people. It's not just to build a house. It's really committed to the community and trying to build them up in Christ and to really meet some tangible needs they have. So to me, though, I'm looking at it like, there is so much work to be done. For us coming down once, out of a blue moon to build a house, well, that's terrific. But, for us to do it once is, it's not even scratching the surface of the needs here. I mean, we only saw just a short portion of the community that we were at. And had we gone across this little dam they have, the community keeps spreading further and further, and it's growing faster and faster. The pictures that you saw there of just the homes that are built out of pallets, plywood, scraps of metal, that's the newer section of the community. Those are new homes that they're building in there. They're just scrapping it together with whatever we could put together. So. If I had a dog, I would build a better doghouse than what some of the folks are living in. As these things, they're terrible. It's a dirt floor until it rains, then it all turns to mud. They're as far as trying to get a garden going or a farm there. I mean, it's a rough spot to be living in. So to see the real need, I mean, to hear, the family needs to build a house. Okay, let's raise money. We can do that. Was one thing, but then to get there and to realize, look at how many folks still need help. I mean, that was just sobering for me. Second question I have is, what impressed you most about this trip? It has to be the people there. As they've all said before, the people are grateful for what they have. I mean, when we handed the keys to Ruben Garcia, and just the gratitude that he and his family had, it was breathtaking. I mean, they truly were grateful. What we were able to accomplish for this family is something that he did not have. There was not the means or even the opportunity to raise and to save that much money in order to build a house for his family. There was no way, even though he works in the scrap metal industry, there's no way he's going to make and save that much money in order to provide a house for his family. So for us to do that for them was just, it was a game changer. You have to understand, this family of five, they were living with the wife's sister and her family in a one-room house. And it was one of the dirt floor homes. It was nothing good. The night of the dedication was the very first night that couple ever slept in a bed. They'd never slept in a bed before that night. And they've been married, more than that, because, yeah, they live with the sister 10.
10 years.
Yeah, yeah, their oldest son is 19. They never slept in a bed before. I mean, I could not fathom that.
And the niece and nephew didn't want to go home.
Yeah, yeah, they're like, we want to stay here with our auntie, so I can understand that. But that, you know, the gratitude that they had was just, it was just mind-boggling. The I was saying that as we drive down there, you see there's so many needs down there, but probably some of the neediest people there in Reynosa were the ones who came down to visit from Iowa. Because we have so much stuff, and they have so little, and they are just so grateful and willing to share. The meal that they made for us really constituted about 2 weeks worth of wages. And they wanted to do that for us. So just their generosity, their gratitude, it really taught me some lessons. There's so much stuff that we have that, frankly, we don't need. And we've all said that before we ever went on this trip. We all knew that intellectually, but really, it just really hit me at a heart level. There's a whole bunch of stuff you just don't need. What you need to be is to be grateful, and that's what they were. We have some time for some questions you might have from the congregation that, you know, maybe we didn't touch. So if you got a question, just put your hand up. We'll do our best to answer it. So, yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's a great question. There is a local pastor there that actually, he just finished seminary, and the missionary actually supports him so he can minister full time. It's just, you know, it's giving and giving back, and it's his responsibility is to select the families, and he has some criteria that they're matching. You do not have to be a Christian family in order to have a house built, but you do have to be moving forward, you know, making some positive steps forward as a family. Obviously, if there's immoral things going on, that's going to disqualify you from, you know, being considered. But they use it as a ministry to, you know, this family. They do attend church on a regular basis, but you don't have to attend church in order to be someone who's considered for that. So you were saying about their church.
Yeah,
earlier,
they're usher greeters at their one church that they're affiliated with, but now since they've moved to a city of refuge, they're actually attending a church there also. So they haven't gave up their other church, but they're just taking on more.
Yeah. Somebody else? Yes. Mm-hmm. Did somebody else want to answer that? So.
There's one at the end of the block, wasn't there?
Yeah.
They had a couple schools. They had like a grade school and a high school, but not, you know, nothing like we have here. It was much, much smaller.
Yeah. They were saying there's this school. It wasn't very big. It was like the size of, it was like half this size even, like down this aisle. And the missionary there said they had about 200 students that go there.
And they are building, actually the missionaries there, as money comes in, they are building another building that will be specifically for high schoolers, I think boys. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, they're really sinking their hands into the community and wanting to make it better. But obviously funds are a very practical issue. They can only do so much. So the missionary is building a house there, but he said you can see the, you know, how fast the progress is by the height of the weeds inside the house. So, you know, if there's no money, they don't build the house. So, we did walk down. There's a road we walked down, and we were able to walk down to the school itself there. And not all the kids go to school. I think they have to be sponsored in order to get to school. I saw a lot of them wearing uniforms. So not all of them have that sponsorship. And so, and they really push that, though. Because if those kids do not graduate high school, they never get out of that community. And if they don't graduate, but they do get out of the community, often it is because they become mules for the cartel. So it is critical, the education that they have. Yeah. Somebody else? Yep, Deb.
Kitchen or anything. Do they have electricity and running water, bathroom in
There is electricity that's there in the home. We are able to wire the home. But as far as water, most families, they have a large water tank that's just outside the home that holds maybe 250 gallons, something like that, that they can actually, wire up a heater into that. But for his bathroom facilities, that's separate from the house, and it's down by the sewage canal. So, did you want to say something about the kitchen?
Oh, one day I got tired and hot of painting, so I went next door to meet the family, and she showed me her kitchen, and it's outside, but it's covered on three sides, and she had a like a cement half circle thing and a fire inside that and a tripod that she could put a pot on top of. Well, that's how she did her cooking. But she did have a blender. I did notice that.
Where was the outlet exactly?
Yeah, that was a wire for electricity, wasn't it?
It was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also charged my phone there, believe it or not. Or not my phone, my camera, because it ran out of battery. Yeah.
So, the house we built was further away from the center of our community, so they don't have the water lines all the way down that road yet, but that may be something that's coming down the road. So,
as far as plumbing, I think they just have PVC pipes going back to a canal behind the houses.
Yeah.
I think that's what there was.
Yep, that's the drain. It was right on the sewer. And there are fish that are living in that sewage drain. So, I'm not eating it.
That's not what we ate, though.
No, we didn't eat that.
We had the chicken.
Any other questions, might have? Yes? They do not have a police force that's there. People lock their doors, but honestly, I never felt threatened one bit, not once. Felt very much at peace.
Well, one thing I noticed is that I didn't hear any gunshots or anything going off, nothing like that. So, I felt very safe there. So,
yeah. Oh, you have to be wise too. There are places that you just don't go. You don't walk, and you don't walk by yourself. They try to keep an eye on the girls, especially, and you just got to be wise. But
And you see the people try to put up fencing and stuff around their houses. You said because they're not there or whatever. Some people try to go in there and get stuff.
Yeah.
That's just anywhere. I mean, people try to get into things and. But yeah, they try to build fences and stuff when they're there so they can lock it up or close it off. But yeah,
that's
no
it. Really the community. I think people just try to watch out for each other.
Oh,
yeah, it's and they have to. Yeah. Good question. Somebody else? Anything else? Yeah, we do. In fact, that's one question that has come up before is, are we going to go back? And we, as we talk about it, we're trying to think of a good reason not to go back. And I can't think of a good reason not to go back. It's not like, okay, all the houses are built, everybody's taken care of. And it's not. And really, to go to do a mission trip in a foreign country, for less than $500 a person, that is just, that doesn't happen. The need is critical, and they would welcome us back. They'd love to have us come, whether we're building a house or just coming, and just ministering to the people. He told us that building the house is the easy thing, but building the relationships and loving these people, that's where it gets more difficult. So. We have prayer cards that they gave us with the address and all that on the back. So. Yeah. Yes, sir.
I know the amount that you wanted to raise at one point was $5,000 was the initial goal.
Yeah.
Is that what the actual cost of the materials to build the house was? And where did the materials come from?
They bought the materials locally, and so it was $5,200 because we added the kitchen area on the back of that. So that included all the materials and paint and all that. So it was, to think of the the impact. I mean, you could buy a used car for $5,200, but you know, and then you drive for a couple of years and you're done with it. But this just changed their lives. So somebody was asking, well, when are we going back the next time? You know, and I'm thinking, why don't we try to go back in a couple of years? Take time to raise some money. You know, you kind of think through things. If each family of the church within the next 2 years would give $100, there's $5,000. I mean, it really would not take much. And you're thinking, could we do more than that? Could we, you know, really, really be thinking about this and praying what God has in mind? There's so much to do. And there are so many opportunities that God gives us that, you know, there's so many opportunities presented to us. You have to say no to some things. But for some reason, God put this on our heart to say, hey, let's do this. And what a tremendous blessing.
Now give us time to, like you say, get more prepared.
Yep.
Learn Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the big thing, I think.
Mm-hmm. And some of you already are learning Spanish and things, so there may be a real reason why God has you learning that language. Why not use it? You know? Let's put it to great use. Yep, Steve. Right.
I don't know what the cost would be, and who knows, but maybe that might be something to not only us, but maybe churches and community get together. So
sure. Yeah, and that's a real, just real practical need that. You know, I wouldn't think it would cost too much, but we need to investigate that. And
you know, the house, that's a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And thank you all for representing us.
This was an honor. It really was. Yeah.
Yep. Arnie, you want to add anything?
Question in the back there.
Yeah, I was curious as far as their sustainability food-wise, like do they have raised gardens? I mean, what do you think they do?
Brianna, do you want to share about that or?
So for food and like vegetables, they have vegetable gardens. Amy got to help with that a lot. And they have little shacks kind of where they keep chickens and pigs and just about anything else that they can afford to get that they raise for their family.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This family here that we built the house for, you said they just got electricity and everything. The place where we stayed, they're donating a refrigerator to them, which is a game changer because whatever they slaughter, they eat. Whatever they dig up, they got to eat. They don't store. So that's going to be a big game changer for them to have. They're giving them a refrigerator.
Yeah.
So that's going to be something that they're going to get used to is having something in their house that they can just go to and get something out of. Otherwise, they got to work for it to get it.
Yeah, every day.
They gotta use it when at that time. There's usually no saving. It's they need food, they go buy it or they solder it or they dig it up. And so yeah. It's a big thing.
Yes, ma'am.
What was the sign that was screwed on saying the last?
Yeah, the sign in Spanish it said the Garcia house, November 10th. 2017, and we had that made here in town, and it was just one of the small God things. As you know, as I designed that sign, I had no idea what color the house we're painting and everything. So I said, "Well, you know, how about green?" And it turned out it just matched perfectly, and so I was able to get that thing mounted on the front of the house, and then we did.
Yeah, he really mounted it, right? he handed the drill to me. And I screwed the first screw in, I handed it back to him, and he gave it to another person.
Yeah.
The bottom screw.
It's all delegation. So, one other member of our team who was there, he's here this morning but is not part of this group, was Arnie Johnson. And I wanted to Say, Arnie, was there something you'd like to add to the to our conversation this morning? Okay. All right. All right. So yeah, definitely pepper Arnie with the questions that you have. So, but thank you again. What a tremendous thing that that the church accomplished together. It wasn't us building it, and honestly, none of us worked hard besides Brianna. And she's the one who, man, she worked hard.
And if you get the rest of the videos and everything, we're going to try to put a CD together and everything, but she used almost every single tool there.
Yeah.
So, sawzalls, nail gun, every single piece of equipment, except for maybe the one circular saw thing that they had there to cut the planks to length, because Rich Lenz and Bert.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bert, they did those. Those were the only two people running that piece of equipment. But
for sure.
She got her hands into everything. Real true.
Yeah. Let's take time to pray together. Thank you guys so much. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of being part of your family. Thank you that your kingdom is bigger than anything any one of us can imagine. What a great blessing it was to be able to go to Mexico and to be able to represent you as well as this church in order to make a tangible difference in the lives of Ruben and Gregoria Garcia and their children. We pray for them this day that they would experience your love and grace. Help them, Father, to know that the Lord is near. I pray that you'd meet every need of their lives as they continue to seek first your kingdom and your righteous ways. We pray you'd help us as we move forward with our next steps. May we not be the same after what we've experienced. But God, would you use this experience to change us, to make us more like you. Give us greater hearts, hearts that are burdened for those that are broken and lost. I think of what you said there in Matthew 25. Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So Jesus, we built this house to you. And we commit it to you for your glory and for your grace. In your great name we pray. Amen.